Greetings, curious minds. You're now tuned into the further adventures of Shortwave Kitsch. New stories, vintage vibes. If you enjoy what you hear and want to support the weird and wonderful, head over to swkradio.com. There you'll discover various ways to join our community and keep the transmissions alive. But don't worry, we'll remind you about that later. For now, let's tune in.
Brave listeners, with open arms and hearts full of love and laughter, turn the lights down, sit back, and relax. We'll all share the fun, frivolity, and a slew of other F-words. Leave your troubles at the door and forget all of your worries. For the next hour, you've discovered Shortwave Kitsch. What better way to take a moment to breathe than through music and lyrics? Gentlemen, ladies, take it away.
Ever since we met, I loved you. Even though the words would come out wrong and sound dull and absurd, everything that took place before now is the prologue. And now that I found you, my life can begin. Smitten a smidge, and there's no going back. Smitten a smidge, I know now that opposites attract. What did I do in this life to deserve you? I know I only know you now and forever.
My entire life I've been running away from places and things that really could never hold my heart. But now
write a letter to Santa, it may never be replied to. But if you really need an answer to a problem, address your letter to whom it may concern. But before that, we'll need to take a quick moment for a word from our sponsor. The Cook family household. We look in on a small boy It's late at night, and little Tommy is having a nightmare. He's tossing and turning, crying out in fear.
What's wrong, my angel?
There's a monster in my dream. I think it's in my closet.
My poor darling, you're having a bad dream, aren't you?
A nightmare, yeah.
Don't worry, dear. There's nothing to fear.
But it was big. It has tentacles. So many eyes. And it was trying to eat me.
I'm here now. Nothing can harm you.
Thanks, Mommy.
Let me go check and see if I can't find something to help you sleep.
Luckily, Tommy's mother knows just what to do in a situation like this. She reaches into her medicine cabinet and pulls out a bottle of Dr. Clutterbuck's tranquilizing treacle.
What are you doing?
Glenn, don't start with me now. I'm helping our son.
You think some kind of magic medicine is gonna do that?
It can't hurt.
Let me talk to him.
I don't think that's the best idea.
We'll see about that. Hey, little buddy, what's wrong?
Mommy's gonna help me.
Sure she will, pal, but I think I can help you too.
But Mommy's going to help me.
I heard you the first time. What seems to be the problem?
Nightmares. Mommy will make them go away.
I'll just go check on your mother.
Dr. Clutterbuck's tranquilizing treacle is not just any ordinary syrupy medicine. No, it's a magical elixir that can calm even the most restless of children.
Found it.
What is this magical it?
It's Dr. Clutterbuck's tranquilizing treacle. I used to give it to him when he was teething.
That's for babies, Mary.
You always do this.
What? What do I always do, Mary?
Glenn, see, I can do it too.
That's infantile.
You're never home, and then you want to swoop in and try to be the hero. Meanwhile, Tommy and I are left to fend for ourselves.
You're not a martyr, Mary. You're just a housewife.
Lower your voice.
Sorry, I wasn't yelling.
Let me check on Tommy.
Fine.
Sorry about the delay, little bud. Be right with you.
Everything okay?
It's perfect, honey. Daddy and I are just so happy to see each other. Be only a few seconds more.
Just a housewife, Glenn? Just a housewife?
I put a roof over our heads!
I know. You remind me all the time of that specific fact. But newsflash, Glenn, a roof and four walls does not a home make.
A house, Mary.
A house is different than a home. That's the point I'm trying to make here. The hours grinding away at work. I appreciate. I understand. It's the after-hours shenanigans.
I need time to unwind.
Oh, and who have you been unwinding with?
Hey, bud, we're almost ready for you.
Made from a secret blend of unicorn tears, pixie dust, and pure imagination.
I like to have one drink with my friends at night, and you freak out.
One drink? One drink?
Yes, one drink.
Then why do you stumble in the house all hours of the night, stinking of gin and
now,
beer?
Now who's calling it a house?
Real mature, Glenn. Real mature. Shall I bring up the smell of perfume and the lipstick on your collar?
You're being a real...
Go ahead, Glenn. Go ahead. I'm being a real what?
You're not baiting me into that conversation again.
I'm still not asleep in here.
What's going on, slugger?
Ready for your medicine?
I've been ready.
Open wide, I'll rub the elixir on your gums like this, and voila, you're off to slumberland.
Thanks, Mom.
And Dad.
Glenn.
Okay, that's okay.
We used to use this when you were teething, and it's the magical morphine that makes it work.
I'm gonna go back to sleep now.
Night, little guy.
Night, my sweet little baby.
Who's Sandra?
Sandra who?
You tell me. I found her number in your coat.
You're being ridiculous.
Dr. Clutterbuck's tranquilizing treacle is not just for kids. It's a miracle medicine that can cure all sorts of ailments. Have a headache? Take a spoonful of tranquilizing treacle. Feeling sad? Tranquilizing treacle is here to lift your spirits. Are you being attacked by a fire-breathing dragon. Tranquilizing treacle.
Hey, buddy, buddy! Hey, buddy, cut it out! Can't you see our kid is trying to sleep?
Oh, sorry. And now, back to our regularly scheduled program. There are people out there who know how to exactly handle every situation. For everyone else, there's your dearest Aunt Agony.
When you hear the tap, tap, tap of my typewriter, you'll know I'm solving problems and helping those less fortunate or in need. Won't you trust your dearest Aunt Agony with your problems?
When you need help and you've nowhere else to turn, place a letter in the post and label it "To Whom It May Concern." We remit tonight's story, The Family Jewels, where Adriana Agony is most comfortable, is seated at her desk behind her typewriter. That's where we go to find her once again today.
Dearest Lynette, your husband, I'm sure, loves you an incredible volume. Yet, in this particular situation, his ego and fear of lack of legacy could be playing a larger part than first apparent. Children are our most valuable resource, was recently uttered by U.S. President Herbert Hoover. You've got four glorious daughters, and they are, if nothing else, an amazing set of resources. Just because your partner doesn't have what he considers to be an heir doesn't make it your problem. If your next child isn't a masculine one, what happens then? Another and another and another, until you have provided him a male? Seems like a raw deal in more ways than one. While science might not allow a man to carry the female burden, until it does, it's our job as females to decline our husband's desires when it just doesn't suit our life goals and body's needs. In short, just say no. Sincerely, Adriana Agony, a.k.a. your agony aunt. Ah, Lynette, here's hoping that you have a strong constitution and your husband has a weak right hook.
Agony?
Yes, Reginald!
Pardon the interruption, as always, Adriana, but...
A letter has arrived.
How incredibly boring it must be, me being this predictable.
Oh, not in the slightest, Reggie. Your constancy is nothing but delightful.
Here.
Ah, here we are again. Family heirloom. Tot, tot, tot. Can't be located. Tot, tot, tot. Worth a small fortune. Tot, tot, tot. Assistance is needed post-haste. Adventure calls, doesn't it seem, Reggie?
Shall I call a car?
Wonderful idea.
To where shall I tell him you're headed?
I'm headed to...
Hart Manor. A few miles west of Agony's place, her escort delivers her to their doorstep. But what awaited her inside was the true mystery. She knocks on the front entrance.
Good afternoon.
Good day, sir. Here to see Sir Piers Hart.
May I ask who's calling?
Miss Adriana Agony.
Very good, madam. Right this way.
Adriana is led into a large parlor, where is seated a yet-to-be-named man and woman.
Presenting Miss Adriana Agony.
That will be all, Bartlett.
Very good, sir.
You have a butler named Bartlett?
We do. What of it?
Oh, nothing, truly. It just seems a pip to say. Butler Bartlett. Bartlett the butler. Oh, absolutely delightful.
How delightfully droll. Truth be told, he's old, boring, and sometimes smells like cabbage. But if his mere existence and name entertains you, then so be it.
Yes. Well then, you called?
I did. This is my wife, Yeardley.
Pleasure to make your acquaintance.
Pleasure's all mine.
Yeardley here has been absolutely shattered over their loss.
You say loss. Your letter wasn't specific.
A family heirloom.
That I understand, but particulars are anything but crystal.
Possibly if you showed her the picture, dear.
A splendid idea, love. Here, Miss Agony.
Oh, please, call me Adriana, and I'm sure that we'll... Oh, sweet Lord in heaven above.
Breathtaking, isn't it?
It certainly took my breath away. And this is valuable?
Quite. It's one of the most valuable necklaces in the world.
Oh, so it is a necklace.
We've only just met and already you're pulling my legs. Such a jester.
That's me. Jokes become me.
It's been in my husband's family for years.
Intentionally?
I expressed to my dearest that it was only a trinket. While these things come and go, our love and the love of our family are what really matters.
Nothing could be truer. But what is this piece worth when weighed against the importance of kin?
It's valued at £5 million.
Sterling?
Is there any other?
That's... Oh, wow! Money is... Yes!
Are you all right?
Of course! Just a mental moment, if you will. Flashback to earlier this week when I was eating my dinner. A can of meat and some powdered milk because my editor had not yet remitted payment for the month. Nothing to bother yourself with, really.
Shall I ring the butler to bring you some water?
Not at all necessary. My saliva reconstituted everything in my mouth. Tasted just like it would have fresh. Really wouldn't have much of an appetite since.
Oh, my.
May I see that photograph of the Riviera again?
Certainly.
This is absolutely...
Splendid.
Not quite.
Awe-inspiring.
Awe is not quite what it inspires. It's,
ghastly.
What say you, love?
Simply murmuring to myself.
When I look at it again, it seems almost familiar to me.
Good eye, Adriana. Constructed of 20 diamonds, along with a myriad of other precious stones. The piece was inspired by the same necklace presented to Marie Antoinette.
The same necklace that was later titled The Affair of the Necklace?
The very same.
Why, no wonder you're losing your head about misplacing it.
Oh, delightful, Adriana.
Oh, it's only money, my dear. Can't we just go about our business as usual and...
Yardley, I was getting excruciatingly excited to see this wonderful masterpiece around your neck at the gala sneaking up on us next month.
Oh, Pierce, it's only money.
That's always my reply when I unsettle something worth £5 million.
Five million.
That's just a whole lot of... Is it hot in here?
Are you decided against the water still?
I don't want any water!
Understood.
Apologies all around.
None needed, really.
Oh, one more question before we begin this exploration.
Anything.
Do we trust everyone under this roof? Or are there concerns that should be voiced now?
The butler has been with us for decades. His family, generations. Can't imagine that he would perform any act that might offend. He's practically family.
Finances can drive people to do strange things. Out of character, even.
Then there are the children.
You can't believe the children could be mixed up in this.
Not in the slightest. But if I'm being honest... I have noticed that in the last years they've become spoiled, shall we say?
We shan't say that.
My dearest, while I'm sure that everyone will be found innocent, Adriana has been brought on to dispel us of any improper notions that we might have, even of those closest to us.
If you insist.
I do. If only to show that we are stronger as a unit. Adriana, what comes next?
I interview each, unearthing what we hope will only be more dirt and nothing more sinister. Wasn't it Jean-Jacques Rousseau who said, "Whoever blushes is already guilty. True innocence is ashamed of nothing." And with that, we begin.
Adriana goes to work pulling the butler and a yet-to-be-named housekeeper into another room for a handful of questions.
Name's Polly Hughes, ma'am.
And do you know about this necklace that's gone out of place?
Sure do, ma'am. Kent says I miss it much, it being an utter horrendous and repellent offence to God and all that the heavens stand for.
You're but a simple housekeeper, no?
Certainly, ma'am.
At the risk of greatly offending, what gives you the perspective to judge such an item as so detestable a thing?
I was born in a small village in the Irish countryside in the latter parts of the last century. I was... Parents were farmers. I grew up helping them tend to the fields and care for the animals. Loved the simple, the peaceful life in the countryside, I did. Nothing felt better than having a fistful of dirt in me hand. When I was still juvenile, my parents fell ill and passed away within a few months of each other. with no other family members to turn to. I was ripped away from the farm I loved so dearly. Had to seek work in a nearby town to support myself. Eventually found some work as a housemaid with this wealthy family, but not until having to do unspeakable things to eat. I worked tirelessly to prove myself hardworking, trustworthy, competent even. After years of struggle, I was eventually promoted to the position of housekeeper. It was my meticulous attention to detail and ability to keep the entire operation running smoothly. But I never forgot my roots. Do they let me keep a small garden here? Sure. But it's those windy nights when the cold sends a shiver up my spine that reminds me what I had to do to keep living and breathing. Reminds me that all this is temporary, and the only thing that waits us in the end is a pine box and a belly full of worms.
So, you didn't care for the necklace?
I did not. Not my taste. Gauche, if you're asking.
Your candor is deeply appreciated.
Nothing to it.
Your name again, sir?
Bartlett, madam.
And you are?
The butler, madam.
Bartlett the butler.
Yes, madam.
Sorry, I wasn't paging you.
Of course, madam.
A butler named Bartlett.
Yes, madam.
Having a bit of fun is all.
Yes, madam, of course, madam.
It's amusing, though. Such an alliterative festival in my mouth. Mix them up, you've got Bartlett the butlet.
Yes, madam.
Not even your name, sir.
Of course, madam.
Okay, enough of the fun and games. Let's get down to brass tacks, as the Americans might say. Does either of you know of the whereabouts of the Lady Heart's necklace?
Not in the least, but good riddance, missus.
And you, Bartlett?
Yes, madam.
Posh lady putting on airs wants to know if you stole the lady's shyness.
Absolutely.
A surprising turn of events.
Not. Absolutely not.
There he is.
Any further questions, or can I continue the slow walk to oblivion as I polish the master's finery?
No. No further questions.
Yes, madam.
That'll be all.
Of course, madam.
Next on the docket, the Hart family children were beckoned and questioned.
Children? I was under the impression that you were children.
We are.
In many ways.
You're fully grown adults.
Fully grown, maybe.
Fully functional. That's a different matter altogether.
And your name's again?
Mine's Lorette.
You can't be serious.
Deadly. Its French means small flower or something of that nature.
Or a decorative motif, I'm aware, yes.
Named after a great aunt.
And yours, sir?
The Argyle.
Surely you must be joking. Like the diamond shapes?
Like the town in Scotland.
Oh, I was thinking Argyle, Florette. I thought I was starting to see a pattern.
I don't get it.
Doesn't matter. Not my finest joke.
Speaking of jokes...
Stop it, sister. You're terrible.
Something else funny?
This absolute nincompoop was named on a dare.
A bet, not a dare.
What's the difference?
Because I have a gambling problem, not a challenge problem.
You're challenged, all right.
Enough!
What's all this about again?
Your mother's necklace.
Which one?
The Gascon.
The Napier.
The Ashby.
The Dawson.
The other Gascon?
I'm not sure. It's the expensive one.
You don't come from wealth, do you?
Not the generational kind? None to speak of, no. That's besides the conversation we're having. It's the large one. Plenty of diamonds, bears a passing resemblance to...
A chandelier?
But one that's broken.
Oh, that's the one!
I hate that monstrosity.
So does Mother.
It's simply dreadful.
There simply isn't a strong enough word on this earth to describe how utterly displeasing it is, really.
Everyone seems to be on the same page as far as how unbecoming it really is, but... Did you steal it?
Absolutely not.
Never, no.
Not even to settle certain debts?
Wouldn't think of it. Besides, we love our parents.
From here to the bank and back.
How darling.
Adriana Agony returns home after a long day of work and an even longer list of pertinent questions. What better way to methodize everything she's acquired than by utilizing her faithful companions' opinions and sage advice?
They all seem to have motives.
Motive does not beget crime necessarily, Reggie.
Could this be one of those fantastical situations where everyone is in on the take?
You've been indulging in those trashy crime novels where the author's reach surpasses the reality of any possible believable scenario.
You should know better than any, Adriana. Words hurt.
I meant nothing by it, friend.
I know. I learned to be dramatic from those same novels you were just disparaging.
Delightful!
Do you have any idea of how to move forward in capturing the culprit?
Absolutely!
Are you going to tell me your sleuthy proposal?
I was, only pausing for dramatic effect.
It was nothing if not dramatic.
My master plan is this.
The following day, Agony arrives back at the hothouse, ready to reveal her detective-esque discoveries.
Wonderful to see you again, Adriana. Everyone is here as you requested.
Perfect.
Am I to understand you solved our £5 million mystery?
You keep saying that figure. It's just it's so much.
Only money, my love.
Quite, dearest. We're about to be educated. Would I be correct in saying this, Agony?
Yes. I believe I have identified the male factor.
Lovely.
Looking in from the outside, one could assume that either of your children could be considered a worthy suspect. Each has a love of the cushy life.
Can't fault her for being correct, can you?
The finer things aren't a choice. They're God-given rights.
If they were the purveyors that purloined the fantastical finery, that runs the risk of garroting the golden goose.
She's positing that we're not the guilty party, correct?
I believe so, but she certainly is taking her time while doing so.
At the risk of being too concise, they are not the guilty party or parties. And a piece of advice, children, stay in your parents' good graces. In the short span of time we've become acquainted with names such as Florette and Argyle, if made to work, you'd be devoured in mere moments.
So it was the servants then.
That conclusion is cliched for a good reason. Why wouldn't it be the help? But you must not forget to factor in the people and their personalities in that equation. Mrs. Hughes, did you steal the necklace?
I most assuredly did not. There was a time in my life when I had no choice but to steal. One winter, when the weather was particularly harsh, my friend of mine fell ill and needed medicine. Didn't have enough money to buy it. Local chemists wouldn't give me credit. Snuck into the pharmacy and stole the medicine I needed, I did.
Yes, yes, Miss Hughes. Thank you for your colorful life stories. And then there's the butler.
Yes, ma'am.
Butler the butler.
Yes, ma'am.
Makes my day to simply say it. A butler named Butler.
Yes, ma'am.
It's clear to all present that he's too much of a dullard to have schemed such a scheme.
Very good, ma'am.
Then who's left? It certainly isn't me.
And why is that?
What do I have to gain?
The insurance monies?
Insurance? Oh, Adriana, you're such a hilarious scamp. Insurance is free money for people who don't have actual money.
Very well, then.
That leaves only...
Yes, it was me. I hid the necklace so it might never be eyed again in its current form.
But you loved that necklace.
No, you loved that necklace.
I don't understand.
That necklace was plainly rebarbative.
My sweet, I don't understand.
It's abhorrent, execrable, vominous.
Still, I'm not comprehending.
It's repellent.
Speak plainly, my love.
Adriana, you must assist me in elucidating my husband on the finer points of this fiasco.
My pleasure, Yeardley. Shakespeare put it brilliantly. From Love's Labor Lost, beauty is bought by judgment of the eye, not uttered by base sale of Chapman's tongues. Ah, in the book Molly Bawn, penned by a one Margaret Wolfe Hungerford, it was codified in what is the most modern version of this common saying. She wrote, "It is an old axiom, and well said, that beauty is in the eye of the beholder." However, I believe what best encapsulates this moment and that particular piece is something uttered by Douglas Horton. He said, "Beauty is variable. Ugliness is constant." That necklace is, shall we say, as constant as change. In short, it's hideous.
Told you.
If you detest it so much, then why take it?
Well, the piece is a bit much to look at. There's some intrinsic value in the parts that make up the whole. The idea was to break up that monstrosity into something smaller to create other, more luxurious and lovely pieces. Possibly some earrings, a smaller necklace, possibly understated.
A brooch would be exquisite.
If you want to appear as if you're tacky in last season,
I'll let you finish up here.
Yeardley, darling, be kind. You know how much of a humorist Adriana is.
Yes. Ha!
Don't. If only you had approached me with your concern, dearest. I could have headed this entire endeavor off at the pass.
You're not upset.
If you're happy, I'm happy. As you've said, it's only money.
Are we done here? I gotta go scrub the levee.
Finally, back in front of her beloved typewriter, after a long few days of being a juror of those guilty parties who pinched the jewelry.
In conclusion, the difference between a pattern and the overwhelming presence and pressure of an obligation can be too great a drawl on our spiritual and our emotional resources. Perhaps we should abandon these patterns and have a party instead. For a party will come and go, leaving only a small mess and a sense of goodwill. While saying goodbye to those things from our past can be difficult. Abiding by the same thing day in and day out, even though they cause us pain, why, that's pure agony. Sincerely, Adriana Agony, AKA your agony aunt.
Where might the next letter begging for advice be addressed from? You'll find out next time with a letter inscribed, To Whom It May Concern. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, this brings us to the end of our broadcast day, but we can't leave you without a song. It's so hard to say goodbye. We just all smile and sigh. And we all sing.
Until next time, the laughter, the tears, the anger, the fears, we come together until we part. It's our sweet song.
And so for now we say,
until next time, we love you.
Until next time, we'll be waiting here on the dial just for you. Good night.
Shortwave Kitsch is a Hat on a Hat production produced with love and curiosity by Kristen Granite, Maddie Casto-Kobler, Brooke Rash, and Brandon L. Joyner. You can catch our broadcast on popular platforms like Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you find your podcasts. And as we close this chapter, we invite you to stay connected. Maybe you want to see us perform live. We hope that you'll even consider supporting us. Find out how to do this and so much more at swkradio.com. There, you can dig into bonus content, engage in lively discussions, and discover how you can play an active role in shaping the content that you love. For those looking to dive even deeper, check out our Patreon for exclusive behind-the-scenes access and perks. And of course, a heartfelt thank you to our listeners. You make all this possible. Subscribe, support, and stay tuned for more tales from Shortwave Kitsch. Until next time, take care.